You arrived 10 days after Hurricane Matthew hit Haiti. Can you describe the scene when you arrived in the country?
When I flew into Port-au-Prince, I flew in with somebody who was working for the Department of Defense as the chief of the medical operations in the Caribbean, South America, and Central America. And he was flying down to meet with officials in Port-au-Prince to help see what the U.S. could do to help coordinate moving supplies to and from the Southern Peninsula, which is the area that had been hit by the hurricane. So Port-au-Prince itself was about the same. I did see, when flying out of Miami, there was a group from Canada of search dogs, and they were going down to search for bodies or survivors of the hurricane. That was a pretty touching moment to see that.
You were able to treat a handful of the survivors that were lucky enough to be flown in from other regions to the hospital in Port-au-Prince. What were their injuries like?
My role was to primarily provide some upper extremity work, and I saw a number of patients who had bad upper extremity injuries that would not have been treated in Haiti. They don't have necessarily expertise for some of the upper extremity injuries that I saw, complex wrist fractures. We also saw some patients with lacerations of tendons and nerves, patients who had been struck by flying debris. One woman whose roof had been lifted off the house and spun around in the air and came down and struck her and severed most of the tendons and nerves in her forearm, and we repaired that.
Your group embraced Haiti 6 years ago when the devastating earthquake hit. Part of the work that your group does is to now, from that experience, train doctors and medical staff to have more skills in emergency and disaster-related medicine. Have you seen a shift toward that in these 6 years that you've been working with doctors there?
Yes. When we first went to Haiti, it was right after the earthquake, and our first three teams went down as a disaster relief effort. Subsequent to that, we became part of the volunteers helping to support the lack of medical care that Haiti had as doctors left the country following the earthquake. And so we went down primarily to provide patient care. About 3 years ago, that emphasis shifted to a role of teaching. And we've become involved now with the orthopedic residency programs in Haiti. There are two that we've been working with, training their residents. And we've seen a pretty impressive improvement in their skills. We actually had one of the Haitian orthopedic residents come up and complete his residency program here in Flagstaff. The problem is more the lack of materials. Recently, all of the Haitian residents were on strike. They were on strike for about 6 months. And so the general hospital in Haiti was closed down. Many of the public hospitals were shut down. These public hospitals are the only place that a patient can go to get care. Most of these people don't have health insurance. There is no government supported healthcare system, and so the residents are providing that. Unfortunately, during the strike, some of the supplies at the hospitals were stolen, and so the government has not replaced those things, and so the hospitals are working now without supplies, without materials, and that may not change until they get a new government.
That's part of Haitian medicine, as you've come to know it, is plan B, is makeshift, is what have I got to try to save this person's life? They're very resourceful without many resources.
There's a lot of being MacGyver down there, and they become very adept at this. I learn a lot from them. We had a surgery while I was down there right after the hurricane with on a patient, a 19-year-old gentleman who had been hit by a tree flying through the air and had fractured his hip. And he was 10 days following injury when I saw him. He had a broken hip, was lying in a bed in the hospital. We didn't have an x-ray machine in the operating room, which is critical for reducing the fracture and putting the screws in place. And in the middle of the surgery, we discovered that the power drills were not working, and so we had to fix the hip fracture with hand drills. And the orthopedic residents were nonplussed by this whole thing. And we went out and grabbed three sterile hand drills and fixed the hip fracture, and it actually came out almost perfectly.
This event also affects you personally because you have one of your children, your daughter, is originally from Haiti. She now lives in Flagstaff. You have two exchange students with you also whose families were greatly affected by this. So this is personal also. This is your family. How is your family handling it? Have they been able to contact their loved ones in Haiti?
They have been able to. In terms of my little girl, Annabelle, who's now 7 years old, we don't know about her family. She was left in front of a hospital in Port-au-Prince at the age of about two, so we don't know much about her family. The two exchange students, Nerland and Bebe, both of them have families in the affected area. So it was an emotional roller coaster. A lot of survivor's guilt with the girls in terms of, why do I have a house? Why do I have food and a family?
It's a little over 2 weeks since this hurricane struck. What does, in your opinion, in your medical opinion, your human opinion, what do Haitians need?
Haitians need a lot of things, beginning from food, water, and shelter. And there are NGOs down there right now working toward that, but Mother Nature is not cooperating, and with continued rains, continued flooding, it's making it difficult for people to get there. It's difficult for convoys of supplies to get there. The other problem is looting. As these convoys are traversing the southern peninsula, trying to get to the towns on the tip of the peninsula, they're being looted by people who also have needs. Not something you can blame them for, but just a fact of human life that adds to the sadness of the whole thing. So I think they need a break from Mother Nature. They need food, water, and shelter. And then long-term, they need help in terms of rebuilding. A lot of what happens in a place like Haiti has to do with a lack of infrastructure.
You took me to Haiti 6 years ago to work on some stories about Flagstaff's presence there as a volunteer organization. The third highest volunteer rate in Haiti in the world is Flagstaff. What I tried to find there were glimmers of hope. And I wonder, in this situation, where are the glimmers of hope?
I struggle with that too. After every trip, or during every trip, when I go down and I treat these victims of trauma and put these people back together, and I wonder, what exactly am I doing? What are we leaving behind? And so that's an issue that I struggle with. There was a little boy that we treated on this trip, who a 10-year-old boy who was hit by a flying object from the hurricane that broke his back and severed his spinal cord and his thoracic spine. So he's a paraplegic, but he laid on the ground for 5 or 6 days before he was found. And so when he arrived at the hospital, not only was he a paraplegic from a thoracic spine injury, but he had a huge decubitus ulcer on his buttock and was febrile and septic from that. We were able to debride that and get rid of his fevers, but he has tetanus, and he likely will not survive. And looking at that, you wonder, where is the hope in this? I look at him, and I think about my daughter and how close to a life in Haiti she was. I think Haiti's hope is her kids. I think there is hope for Haiti, and I think it lies in education. When 60% of the kids in Haiti are not getting an education, I think that speaks volumes. And so that's where our focus has been, is to educate the kids. This is going to be a generational save. It's not going to be in the next few years. I am hopeful that Haiti will be able to have a government soon. They've been without an elected president now for a year. The elections were due to occur the Sunday after the hurricane and now have been put off indefinitely. So they still have an interim government and no real ability to raise funds or disperse funds to help their people. And I think educating kids, getting kids to understand the value of voting and being part of the political system, to be part of their country and to try to make a difference, is important.
Bull Durham, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're very welcome.